Today's episode of Nerd Soup is brought to you by NordVPN. Right now, you can get a huge discount on a two-year plan of NordVPN at nordvpn.com/nerdsoup, and when you use our code NERDSOUP, you'll get an extra month free. NordVPN is great for those who are looking to stay safe on the internet. Instead of signing into a public network where all your data is vulnerable, Nord's private networks will keep all of your internet data safe behind a wall of next-generation encryption. With VPN servers all over the world, you can enjoy internet with no limits or borders. You will have worldwide access to enjoy hundreds of streaming websites worldwide, simply by clicking a button. And Nord also lets you connect up to 6 devices simultaneously, so you can secure them all in any combination. And remember, right now you can visit nordvpn.com/nerdsoup to get a huge discount on a 2-year plan. So don't wait. Secure your internet today with Nord. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Nerd Soup. I am Bo Oliver, joined here today with Aaron, the Nerd Soup Monkey, and Teddy, and we are back to talk about Invincible Episode 7. We need to talk, pause, about this episode. That's what we're going to do. Hell of an episode. Maybe the best episode of television I've ever seen.
I texted you out there and said that was one of the best fight scenes I ever watched. Animated and possibly live-action fight scenes.
Well, the way that it was moving at such a pace that when it ends, you kind of just realize, oh my God, what just happened? You have to process everything that just happened because they threw so much at us in this episode, and they've been throwing a lot at us this entire season. And the fact that it just came together this well was so impressive, and just the cut to the credits, the silence, it was just, it sticks with you.
Dude, the way they're bobbing and weaving in and out of storylines and weaving things together is flawless. Like, halfway through the season, you're like, there's so much going on, I don't know how they're going to do this. But they just find a way to just weave in each storyline, end storylines, start new ones. It's just perfect.
Right, and I guess the two storylines that were not necessarily wrapped up, but took the next step, were Robot and Omni-Man. Uh-huh. You know, seeing Robot, his plans coming to fruition, and Omni-Man, just his true persona being brought to the light. I mean, he was caught on camera. And now the entire world sees him for what he truly is. And I think both storylines where they were left off, it's just pretty much perfect for me.
I mean, I think I could spin that if I'm Omni-Man.
He attacked me, man.
I was fighting a monster, and this dude just comes out of nowhere. And so
I don't know if it's really immortal. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just kid. Oh,
dude, obviously, I didn't even realize that was like the guy from the first episode.
Yeah, I had no idea.
We were like, who is this?
It took me a second to realize it, too.
That was hilarious. As soon as he wakes up, he wants to smoke. Omni-Man!
Guy took 2 L's, man.
I don't know if you can.
He needs to relax.
He got fucking worked. So you had the whole squad at you last time. You're not going to try to one-up him.
I guess, like, if you're brought back to life, you feel that confidence. That's the only thing on your mind, right? Like, I'm going to get him this time. And no, he just... Omni-Man told him you should have stayed dead. He was hitting him a couple times. But once Omni-Man flips that switch, he's a god.
I'm waiting for Mark to flip the switch. I thought he was going to do it against that monster.
I saw a lot of people talking about that the only way that Mark can really beat Omni-Man is if he goes berserk, and we've seen that a couple times.
Yeah.
We saw it against the aliens, we saw it against Battle Beast and his crew, and maybe there is just a hidden gear that he can unlock where, because he is the same race as his father, he can defeat him. From Mark's perspective, seeing that,
he's also half-human, though.
That's
not on his side.
I wonder if that makes him stronger.
No way. Not against him, not against Omni-Man.
The way that he views his dad, I mean, it's... You know, similar to a lot of ways that kids view their fathers, that they're perfect, that they are superheroes, and Omni-Man is an actual superhero. And for him to see that all come crumbling down, you know, like you said, I don't know if Omni-Man finds a way to spin this. I mean, Mark would be the most important person, right? That's the one guy Omni-Man would need on his side.
Yeah, I think that, doesn't it seem like he has like a justification? Maybe not a good one, but from his perspective. We still don't really know what that is totally, but yeah, it's gonna take a hell of a spin to get his son on his side, because his wife seems like she still obviously was caring for him during the fight while they were watching, but I think she's I think she's past the point of trying to be convinced that he did the right thing.
It's almost like, but if he gives her a good enough reason why he did it, I think. I think she'll be back on his side, and maybe even win back not the world, but Cecil at least. There's got to be a reason why you did it, because it seems like he's just living on borrowed time. Like,
right.
Things are coming to a head soon, and he had to take out the Guardians.
Yeah, it could be as simple as the Guardians. I mean, he is an invader. I still think it's going to go back to, it's like Goku. The fact that Goku was sent to Earth to destroy the planet, and then his memory was erased, so he falls in love, has a family, and he grows really attached to Earth. I think Omni-Man is feeling conflicted between family and duty. I also think it could be like, maybe someone from his home planet is like, listen, you were sent here to invade, and you're taking too long. What's the holdup? We're going to kill your wife and kid if you don't kill the Guardians, if you don't get this moving, something like that. Maybe
where'd you pull that from?
I was just trying to think of theories. Like, is he being blackmailed?
That sounds plausible.
You know, he's talking to himself on Mount Everest, imagining the conversation with Mark, and it's something that he just can't get out. Mm-hmm. So you imagine that it's going to be a lot for Mark to take in. He doesn't know how he's going to respond, and I think it's something more complex than I murdered the Guardians because I want to be top dog.
Yeah.
I do think it's kind of not risky, but they're doing a good job with it, keeping the viewers in the dark, though.
Yeah.
Not knowing what's going on. You know, this payoff is going to be pretty big.
It makes him such a fascinating character.
Right.
I love when she kicked him out of the house and he just fucking flew through the roof.
Yeah. It's like, we'll talk later.
He'd rather destroy the house than tell her what's going on.
Yeah, here's $50,000 worth of destruction.
Oh, man. Seeing that scene when all the soldiers came in from being invisible, and he just completely destroys them. I felt so bad for him. This show gets very graphic. It takes the turns that you don't see coming.
Right, the way that they use violence. I was thinking about this over the weekend, that in superhero movies, you know, the way that they use their powers, they would be killing each other on accident. And in Invincible, when these guys use their powers, like, you're going to die if Omni-Man slams your head on the floor.
Yeah, what do you do? We kick the girl out of the house and her torso? You just... torso got flipped around.
Right. Like, yeah, exactly.
The simple,
like,
kick.
The physics of this world are like real world physics. Right. Like, if you could be tossed like that, that's what's going to happen to your body. So, like you said, it just comes out of nowhere, but they don't shy away from it. Mm-hmm. That this is what would happen if a superhero, and he's just such a terrifying presence this entire episode. You don't know who he's going to take out when he's interrogating Mark's friend. Hand on the car.
Menacing, man.
Yeah.
Menacing.
No, that was he was scary in that scene. And
I mean, and everything they threw at him this episode. I think Cecil's commentary was just so hilarious. Like, this should hold him for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
What was it, $400 million worth of equipment he destroyed for a nosebleed?
Yeah, $400 million nosebleed. Most shades expensive of Thanos, nosebleed. Right? All that for a drop of blood. Just can't touch the guy.
No.
He's a fucking beast, man. There's a whole planet of him, too. That's crazy.
Wow, that's scary to think of.
I wonder if it is a thing where on Viltrumite or Viltrium, they don't have their powers. But no, they said that they do, right?
Yeah.
They're all just superpowered.
I wonder who's the top dog there.
Right, yeah, it's a Targaryen situation, right? Where the Targs were whacking Valyria.
What happens with Krypton again? Are they all Supermen?
No, they're like normal people, but their gravity is like 100 times stronger.
Oh, right, yeah. Right, okay.
Different sun.
Yeah, the sun makes you stronger, or at least made Superman stronger.
Yeah. But yeah, they throw the kaiju at him. That was fun to see. Callbacks throughout the season.
Are you guys wondering why he left his cape around? I mean, he said, he was like, part of me wanted you to find it, or someone to find it. Because it's like, he has, the guilt is there. He feels bad about what he did. You know, I don't think he's necessarily a bad guy.
Yeah, I think it's, like I referenced this on the last review, Tony Soprano or a mob boss being honest with their family. I guess it feels better for him to share it with the people that he feels like he can love and trust. And like he said, I wanted somebody to find it just to see their reaction. And you wonder with Debbie, you mentioned that you think that she's just going to be past trying to bring him back to the light. Because for her, it must have been tough watching that, because he's just such a destructive force. And Cecil, I love a cold-hearted pragmatist saying, hey, if I have the opportunity to kill your husband and son, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Because they're just...
I fuck with that.
But yeah, I wonder if Omni-Man was like hoping his family would accept him.
Yeah, after what he did.
But it's hard when he's not being honest, because whatever the final secret is, like the true motivation, it's he feels like people can't handle it, not even his family, not even Cecil. Cecil says, you know, we were friends for 20 years. You fooled all of us. What the fuck, man? There's a funny panel in the comics where Cecil says it costs the taxpayers $5 billion every time he teleports. So I was thinking about that in the back of my mind, like, God damn it. Government waste.
He was nice in the teleports.
He teleported like 6 times.
Too quick. Yeah, Omni-Man grabbed him at the end when he grabbed his tie. But that's, I mean, the finale. you imagine it's going to be an emotional finale for Omni-Man's immediate family.
Yeah, I mean, the way it all ended, like you said, the kind of Reigns of Castamere type vibes where it just cuts to the credits, no music, no cold ending, and you're kind of just left waiting until next week to see kind of the what happens next, like where do we go from here? And I think if anybody, Mark is the one who could understand the most, being that he is similar and that he has powers and the way he views his father. But I think something's got to give there, where we are going to see Mark go against his dad.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if Omni-Man is a one season type of thing, where he's the antagonist for season one, and then all these other storylines that they've kind of set up come into play season two and three. Or maybe he goes somewhere. Maybe he leaves Earth, and it's an eventual grudge match in the future.
Yeah.
If Omni-Man returns, Mark is a bit more mature, so possibly he can beat him. I don't know. He's clearly the best character on the show, so I would like to see more of him. I mean, this
Omni?
The way that people are telling stories with evil Superman is just so fascinating. We're seeing it across the board here, and he may be the best version that we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah, because he's not fully evil. At least we don't think, or it doesn't seem.
Right, like Homelander's got, like, mommy issues. He's, like, he's yeah. way more sociopathic.
Yeah.
Like a troubled individual. And Omni-Man seems like he's just caught between two worlds. At least that's how I see it.
I think Omni-Man is just a, I don't know. It contradicts what I just said earlier, but he could just be a bad guy. And it's just coming to a head now.
Like, when he's training with Mark, he's never cruel. He can be tough on him. He can be a bit of a hard ass, but he never, I was going to say, he never intentionally puts him in harm's way. Meanwhile, he got his let him right into the beast.
That den. Wolf? What the hell was that guy?
Battle Beast, yeah. He seems loving. Like, he is a loving father. I mean, Sandra Oh's Debbie says it. Like, we were all friends with these people. Like, I can imagine Omni-Man at a barbecue, you know?
It would be unfortunate if he is in one season, because I do want to see more of Omni-Man.
Well, the performance, the character, it's just J.K. Simmons has been
killing
it. He's
the man. That voice.
Yeah, it's such a great voice. Makes me want to grow a mustache.
It really does. Yeah,
just that voice.
I don't think it comes with the voice.
The mustache? If you can rock a mustache,
Sam
there's
Elliott.
A reason why you rock the mustache.
No,
you have to have the voice first, then you grow the mustache. You know you can grow the mustache.
I think, you know what? I'm going to grow a mustache then.
You don't have a mustache voice.
The mustache voice needs to be like a bit more like this, you know?
Yeah.
Coors Light.
Yeah, see?
Bored. What are you, a 1920s? This guy's a 1920s horse racing announcer.
Every time I shave, I leave the mustache just for like a couple
just
minutes.
Just see if it, how terrible it looks, right? That's what I do.
I just did to Elena, and she walks in the bathroom and says, ew. And I shaved it.
Well, with a group of friends, you can't rot the mustache, because then everyone calls
roasted.
It mustache.
Yeah. Nash always loves.
Oh, hey, mustache. Nash can rock it a bit. But Omni-Man's got an all-time great mustache, man. He's a salt and pepper super daddy.
I want to touch on Mark and Amber, you know, because we saw that their relationship came to an end there, which I thought was kind of bogus. You got to know the fact how you can't just trust anyone with your secret identity. I mean, we found out it's been 8 months since the Guardians died. So that's one flaw with the show, is Mark and Amber's relationship. Like, he's been stringing her along for 8 months. So you do kind of, I kind of feel her pain. But when she says that she kind of knew, then I don't get how you still stay mad at him and still dump him after that. You're just adding to a bad cause.
Maybe Mark and Amber's relationship may be the weakest aspect of the show so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I don't mind it, because I've been saying it review after review, it's balancing your personal life and the superhero life. I guess it could have been done better. Amber seems like a...
She seems understandable. Like, she's understanding.
Right, but, yeah. Like, they're not being consistent with their character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that breakup just... I don't know. I guess they're kids, right? Kids get emotional. Mm. She seemed a little sad at the end. And maybe it was a good move, man, when she was watching Omni-Man. It's like, what the fuck? Dodge a bullet here.
Psychopath.
That's a huge red flag. Mark and Adam Eve just seem like it's destiny. You know?
Well, that's the couple that's supposed to be together, but they're never all together.
Right, yeah. That they were kind of leading into this, a little bit of a love triangle, but it just makes sense. They're both superheroes. You know, it's easier.
Yeah, the schedules work out better.
And they share a nice moment in this episode. Before shit starts to really go down.
Yeah. I like her character. I think that seems like a great way to wake up. Coffee and in the woods, hanging out. It still doesn't... I don't see like an insect screen, so could get annoying. So
probably still very buggy.
It's Probably not a shower. I don't know if she has running water, but...
She just appears herself. She just, like, makes herself look clean again.
Yeah. Does that really count, though?
I guess. Oh, yeah, yeah. 100%, okay. Yeah. She can whip up a fucking shower in a snap of the finger.
That's a sick power. But yeah, I think their relationship... it's weird, because I think Amber... Her wanting to have Mark trust her enough to tell him, I think that's valid, but... You know, Mark's situation, too. He's new at this, so I think it goes both ways there. I think they'll end up figuring it out, because I think they both still obviously care for each other. And I think with Adam Eve, I think she's just kind of... I think she's, like, starting to come into her own, and I think that's kind of, like, a good path for that character, where she's still trying to figure out she's not with her team anymore and kind of carve her way into this world while she's on her own, so...
She doesn't have to be with Mark.
Yeah,
like, I know what you're saying. It makes sense. Like she's finding herself. Like she knows what she wants to do now. And she was only there for 3 days. It's only been 3 days since she went out there.
She's saving,
or is she just saying 3 days? I saved more
the
lives.
Environment.
You know what she says? She's like, I saved more lives in 3 days than 3 years. I think she said.
Right. Yeah. 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 No, I guess it's weird the calendar for this season, but we saw her go off on her own that. She can make these differences without saving a city from an alien invasion, you know? That's things that superheroes don't always focus on.
But she knows that duty still calls, and she's ready to go when she has to go.
Yeah, she's just like a... Like, Mark has a lot... Could learn a lot from her.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Adam Eve is a veteran hero, where she's such a veteran that she's retired from being a hero to, 16, to move on to things...
or yeah, 18.
The things that she thinks are more important, but she could still be dragged in when she sees, you know, something going down. And Mark, like I said, he still has a lot to learn, because even when he catches up to her, he's like, oh, I'm just here to make sure you don't get hurt. Like, bro, like, she should have just turned him into a fish right there. Like, have fun being splattered on the floor, you idiot.
Baby.
Maybe I'll save you. Yeah, you stupid dick. But Mark in this episode, I mean, he's been taking his licks throughout the season, right? He hasn't really gotten, his only victory is getting his powers and being accepted by his father, but ever since then, he's just been getting his ass beat, so
dude,
you could see why he's not having the best time. And then he gets the opportunity to team up with his dad, and his dad does that.
I completely forgot, when they went to Mars, what happened what Mark says is their dogs? They came back to Earth.
No, they, one came back to Earth.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
But all it takes is one.
Right, yeah. No, that's probably going to be a season two thing. Yeah, no.
Oh, shit.
They killed all the Martians. Yeah. That's how that episode ends. And they killed all the Martians. We have that guy that was resurrected in the tomb in Egypt.
I guess they still have more to wrap up.
Yeah,
it can't happen next episode. Yeah, it's going to be next
season.
No,
these, and obviously Battle Beast, of course, is... I'm assuming he comes back.
Dude, this is like Titan. They're setting up future. Like they can like really work with this.
It's interesting.
Really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got some
good show too.
Game of Thrones flavor to it, right? People love that. That's a comic book thing, you know, the
like it's not this story arcs. Right now is what's keeping me wrapped up. It's everything, you know, right. It's not the Omni-Man story that's making me want to watch. It's everything they're doing in these episodes.
They've done such a great job of balancing it all, of setting up everything, but keeping the Omni-Man story so personal and so engaging for the audience.
Yeah, and the other big storyline this episode, Robot, finally figure out what he is and what he was trying to do. I guess he's just like a super genius that was stuck into...
Yeah, he's in the cryogenic chamber.
And created Robot to kind of be him, be his body.
Yeah.
And...
Delightful, though. You know, I'm happy. He's not a psychopath either.
This was incredible. I thought this was the best part of the episode. I was freaking out during this. When they transfer the consciousness.
Yeah.
And he's like, he doesn't know who he is, and... They're like, you know, it's not transferring, it's just a copy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like your new you remembers your past life.
We talked about that like with Westworld.
Right.
Like Dolores, yeah.
And then if you, I hate thinking about this idea of me being cloned and then killing me off. And then to you guys.
They make it believable.
It's like I never left. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but to you, you're dead.
Right. Like I'm fucking dead. Like is the little, you know, the original robot, he's gone. And it was sad. You know, got me thinking philosophically, but it was disturbing and, like I said, sad to watch this character
kill himself,
wheezing his last words, like, go experience everything we couldn't. I was choking up. but also like breathing heavy because it's like
it's making me breathe heavy. Yeah, it's like watching you not being able to breathe.
I don't like how you can't breathe. But yeah, all of that was it was just very fascinating, very interesting.
Yeah.
Gets your mind running.
It's Rex Blode's body.
Right, yeah, no, it's Rex Blode's
It's even funnier.
Body. When he walked in on the Guardians and Black Samson was like, you didn't even ask. And Rex is like, that's not the problem here.
I'm starting to really like Rex's character, too. I thought he was a bit douchey. I mean, he was a douchey character, but, you know. He's
grown on me.
Yeah.
Well.
I don't hate him as much anymore.
He's less obnoxious. He's starting to realize what it means to be a hero when he puts it together, what happened to the last Guardians.
After he found out, man, he knows he's got to like start taking shit serious.
He's like, we're the last hope?
Wait, something against Omni-Man?
Yeah.
Something weirds me out, though, about the robot monster girl thing.
Oh, me too.
One of my friends made this point that from her perspective, it's flattering, but super creepy.
Because they're both
you don't know how older. To feel about it.
They're both like mature and older.
Right.
Inside, but on the outside, they're both kids.
That is weird now to think. You're making me think about it, and now it's making me feel dirty.
Because in one way, it's like makes sense,
right?
But in the other, it's just not. That just doesn't work.
Yeah, she's 28 and he's 30. I think he says, but they're both in like 16-year-old bodies.
Yeah, no, it's very creepy. The fact that it raises these questions, and we're like, oh, that's sweet. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, he
is
did
this legal.
Every time she goes monster, she gets younger. So she's eventually going to die.
Right. Well, I guess maybe the...
Maybe you can figure something out?
The idea is she like never Benjamin, has to use it again.
Benjamin Button.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I guess his powers are just to summon the robots, right?
And right, yeah. He's got the Neuralink. That was great when the Mauler twins tried to install all those explosives and shit. It's like, well done. Now take that shit out and add this. Yeah, he's like Ultron, basically, with a human body. I mean, that's what Ultron wanted to do, right? Vision was a biological body made of vibranium, synthetic skin. And, yeah, that's basically what he is. That was a great fight. The Mauler twins continue to be so delightful every time.
I was just
going to
say, I love those two characters. They're very complex, too. They're not just on-the-head bad guys. Well, they are, but there's more to them.
I love macho geniuses. They can beat the fucking piss out of you, but they know how to make clones, and they understand the science. It's a...
I mean, what, they went to a warehouse and built fucking cloning technology?
Yeah. And I think the voiceover performance has been so good. Their explanations of what it means to be a clone was very fascinating. But yeah, that was a great confrontation. And they think that, you know, they're going to get immortal to be
It's so funny. Those two got lucky that Immortal didn't kill them.
Yeah,
too.
Just run through them quick. Like, they're like, okay, buddy. He just breaks the fucking...
Okay, he says what? So Immortal... Oh, he has them try to kill the Guardians, right?
Yeah.
He just rips it off.
Yeah, he just rips it off and flies away. I wonder how strong they are, the Mauler twins.
Me too. Yeah, they're just like
regular. They
held
their own.
Yeah.
I mean, the Guardians beat them at the White House, but...
Right. That is true.
Yeah, that's all the Guardians, though.
No, they can't hold it. They can't hold up against Omni-Man, I doubt it.
Would you guys have liked to see the Guardians, like, actually fight? Like, be a team? Or are you... As I know, like, we're all happy with where they're going, but just to see the Guardians all together?
No, I think because they really don't matter.
Yeah.
I think it's... They're clearly copies of the Justice League.
Yeah.
And it's just there to show you what would happen if Superman ever wanted it to happen. And it's done so perfectly.
Yep.
Because even going back to that first episode when Omni-Man saves Batman and Batman kind of just looks at him and continues and Omni-Man goes,
like, no, thank you.
Yeah, right there you can see like, yeah, I'm about to kill these guys. These fucking assholes.
I'm dying to know what it is, man. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for episode 8.
Me too.
Holy shit, what a season this has been. Penultimate, bringing back feelings of Game of Thrones and... It kind of felt like a Blackwater where you don't know who you're rooting for because do you want them to stop Omni-Man? Do you want Omni-Man? Like, I wanted them to stop Omni-Man, but I also want Omni-Man to see Mark.
I just want everything to work out. You know?
I just want all of them to sing Kumbaya.
Like, can we just forget what happened to the Guardians? There was a logical reason what happened.
Maybe he was just testing them. It's like, oh, if you can't beat me, you know, maybe you don't deserve the job.
Yeah, it could be it, too.
Imagine that. He didn't run that by Cecil.
You don't have to murder them all.
Yeah, I wonder where next episode picks up, if it's going to be a direct continuation, or if it's going to be one of those things where all the characters are separate and I just want that conversation.
The way he ended it, I'm hoping that maybe him and Mark just like dip and go to the mountains like they
Mark, I'm a scumbag. I murdered them in cold blood because I wanted to.
Mark, I'm a psychopath.
I don't love you or your mother.
I have no feelings.
I'd rather that. And then he's a bad guy.
Where's your god now?
I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to turn this planet into a box of Pringles.
The thing is, I don't think Mark can take his dad. I really don't. Even if he does tap what he has to tap, I don't think he can take Omni-Man.
Well, I did
team up him, Adam Eve, maybe some of the Guardians.
Those cyborgs from last episode.
Bro, those cyborgs were getting licks on them, man. I mean, no pun intended.
Wait for this.
What are you laughing at?
Where's the pun?
They were biting him and eating at him.
Okay. Yeah, they were biting them. Yeah, that was I hate that, dude, when people bite skin.
It looked it felt like I was being bit.
Yeah. I can always, like, feel it. Yeah.
When a mortal was trying to dig out his eyes.
That's a cheap shot.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me at Lily's that night. They were digging their fingers in my eyeballs.
Dude, you got into another fight?
No, that was the last time I was at Lily's when we got into that big brawl.
Oh, okay.
When all of us got knocked out.
I think
you
said last night.
No.
I wasn't there.
What was I going to say? Dude, that one shot of Omni-Man with the red eyes, that shit was so funny, man.
He's like, you really had to do that? He slices him in half with his fucking fingers, dude.
The way Cecil brought back D.A. Sinclair was a nice touch. It's like, hey, we needed this guy, right? Mm-hmm. They mentioned it last episode that these robots may be able to defend him off. They weren't, and D.A. Sinclair was all upset. They had to drag him out of the control room.
I've been waiting for fucking heat vision this whole season.
From Omni-Man?
Yeah, still haven't gotten it.
Does he have it?
I don't think so.
Oh.
In Shazam, I love when they thought he had heat vision. They kept trying for it.
You know what's cool? To go off what you just said about Sinclair, Cecil does mention that when they're taking him off, says that we have use for you.
Yeah, right. So you imagine everything that they do set up with a line or you know, a subplot that they are going to come back into play, and that's so exciting for future seasons. But for this season...
Even with... we still... For next season, too, we have what happens in the boss. His name's Sam, too, isn't it? No.
Titan. Right.
Even for the next seasons, we have what's happening with Titan and Mark. Now we double-cross them in that office.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's a lot to still touch on moving forward. And I don't know. You have any predictions of how this finale is going to end?
I want to say I do, but... Who knows which route they go? They can go literally anywhere they want to go.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Mark doesn't strike me as an individual that can be swayed to the dark side.
Me too.
Maybe he'll flirt with it. Maybe we'll see that tomorrow. Maybe that's a season one cliffhanger. What is Mark going to do? But I don't even think it's that clear. It's not black and white. Omni-Man's explanation can change everything. Imagine if it's an explanation where we're like, oh, I agree with that.
Yeah, fuck the Guardians.
But
yeah.
I don't True. Like the idea of him, like maybe his family was being threatened. Like maybe that's who they introduce, like the Viltrumites. Like what you said, Omni-Man may not be top dog on that planet.
What would make you do what he did, man? It's something serious. So maybe that could be it. He loves his family. He loves what he has.
Mark gets his powers in the first episode, right?
Yeah.
Maybe and Omni-Man seemed to be upset about that. Maybe that's what triggered it.
So. Well, maybe now...
I think it was
like,
just more of he was happy that he wasn't having powers and he can live a normal
maybe
life.
Maybe it's something where now that he has powers, like, the Viltrumites will know.
I think it's going to be... I think Mark's going to... Omni-Man's going to tell Mark they're going to have their big fight, and Omni-Man's going to beat the shit out of Mark, and he's going to leave. Not kill him, just beat the shit out of him, and he's going to leave, and then it'll wrap up some other day.
Like,
Mark
will
learn from his mistakes.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a possibility where Omni-Man can end the season either dead or off-planet.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not Mark, but yeah, it's I can't wait. Truly can't wait.
Imagine just kill Mark.
Imagine, yeah.
That'd be a turn.
Rexplode just takes them all out.
I hate it. Does Rexplode have a power, or is it just those fucking coins he throws?
I don't even know.
How is he a Guardian?
I hope they start to explain some of their powers, or how they got powers. I don't know if they'll ever do that. But
what's Black Samson's power?
Who knows?
Because he got it back, and we haven't seen it yet.
He's just got like a healing machine. He's got like a star.
Beaten to like an inch of his life, and it comes out with powers.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Someone told me I can get beaten to like an inch.
I mean, he had to be nice if he's an original Guardian.
They keep poking fun at him, but he won't tell them what his powers are.
Yeah.
They keep accusing him of not having powers. These characters are so fucking secretive.
Maybe he just beats the piss out of Omni-Man.
Imagine that. Imagine he's the one to do it. He's one of my favorite characters, actually. He's like the player coach. He's always ripping into them, you know. We got to be better. But he cares. He loves them. He was a, hey, he tried to save Invincible. Got his skull cracked, but he tried.
That was a horrifying scene, too.
What a show.
When they're all fighting in that office. That was brutal, man.
No, Battle Beast was... We need to see Battle Beast and Omni-Man, right?
Facts.
That's a fight we got to see. Maybe he comes back.
I thought that was going to be the fight when he bashed Mark's spleen with his hammer.
Right.
Well, that sounded weird.
Maybe Omni-Man becomes Bigger Jaws in this. Not Omni-Man. Battle Beast, is like, he comes back and everyone's like, oh, fuck.
Is he a known guy in the comics?
I don't know.
Oh.
I know Cam's reading them. Son of a bitch. All right, guys. We'll be back for next week's review of Episode 8, the season finale. Hope you'll join us. Hope you like this. Comment, share, do all that stuff, and see you next week.
Peace. That was a good review. I think they'll like it.
Well, would you look at that? It's finally over. Hey guys, Beau Oliver here for one final send-off. Now, before I beg you guys to like and share this video, I'd like to thank our very special Patreon pledgers. We are very proud of the community we've been able to build here at NerdTube, and it would not have been possible without our Patreon supporters. You guys are the true MVPs of this channel. Everything I've said, you keep the fridge full, you keep the lights on. There aren't enough words to thank you guys, but we'll do it anyway. Thank you. And we have a few videos coming up that have been suggested to us by Patreon pledgers. My Hero Academia, Neon Genesis Evangelion, and Full Metal Alchemist will be reviewed by Marissa and yours truly, and Castlevania, which will be reviewed by Marissa and Aaron. And if you'd like to consider donating to our Patreon page, you can visit patreon.com/nerdzoop and check out some of the rewards we offer to our listeners. And really, we'd like to thank everyone who takes the time out of their day to watch our videos. Patreon pledger or not, your support is what keeps us motivated to keep giving the world our opinions on movies and TV shows and video games and pop culture, even though no one asked for it. We're still here, we're still yapping, and we hope you continue to join us. I'm Beau Oliver, and I support this message.